Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Which is the bigger disaster in sports? Is it the Lakers or is it the New York Mets? Or is it the New York Jets? Nah, I don't know that I'd go so far as to call the Jets a disaster, but they are dramatic. Maybe we stop short of debacle because they haven't started a season yet. Who are the biggest disasters in sports? That, my friends, is your question. As we morph from a Monday into a Twizzler Tuesday, who are the biggest disasters as franchises? Okay, so I don't need individual names. Who are the biggest disasters in sports? The franchises that you now come to expect will have the opposite of the Midas touch. It's not everything they touch turns to gold like the Warriors, but everything they touch shrivels up and dies. Nothing that they do seems to work. Who are the biggest disasters in the sports world? It'd be fun if we could do a poll with one from each of the four major pro team sports, although it might be hard to nail it down. We'll just see. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. And yes, the Lakers and the Mets are two prime examples. And it needs to be a bit of a pattern here. I don't mean one bad year. The Knicks, maybe. That could be one of the... Ooh, that's two New York teams. Yikes. The Knicks could be one of the biggest disasters in sports. If you had to pick Lakers or Knicks in the NBA, that might be tough to do. Thanks so much for tuning in. As we say hello to a Tuesday, it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio from inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. I am pointing at Dave. I talk with my hands, so I'm not actually pointing at Dave. But I'm pointing toward Dave behind the other side of the double pane glass with half a shoe. Would you like to know why? I had a Zion Williamson type blowout. I stepped and the shoe came apart, and I mean came apart in half. So we're going to do, I don't know if I really want to show you my blown out shoe, but we'll either do a video or a photo that we'll put on our social media at our next break. These shoes are older, I will admit to that. I'm the kind of person who wears pretty much everything until it has holes or it actually physically comes apart. So I went to walk out to get some water. And as I stepped, it was just a step. I wasn't putting nearly as much force on my sandal as Zion Williamson did on his Nike shoe. But if I could blame Nike, that would be awesome. Do you think I get a free pair of shoes? These are not Nikes. They are Sonoma, apparently. Anyway, so shoes are kind of ugly on the inside, by the way. So now I am holding two pieces of one right shoe, except this right shoe is very wrong. It was kind of funny walking down the hallway because there's a slab underneath my right foot now, but there's no sole to the shoe. So there's just it's essentially a really thin, even thinner than what you might get with most flip-flops. And it's a little slippery because it's not the grippy sole of the shoe. Why can't this happen at home? Why does it have to happen at work where I'm now shoeless Joe Amy? Anyway, so we'll do a little video and I'll demonstrate how not to pick your shoes for work. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. So we talked about the Lakers a little bit and I'd love to get more of your reaction. Let's talk about the Mets, shall we? They're about like my old blown out shoe right now, which I will continue to use as my pointer until someone takes it away from me. No, I'll put it down. I'll go back to talking with my hands. It's not really as effective as talking with your shoe, though. So Mets fans, ouch, but not, I hope, as much of an ouch as I'm trying not to laugh. It's just so Ioannis Cespedes. This is him. This is what he does. He has all of these strange injuries. And if I didn't know better, I would swear that he has played fewer games than he's actually sat out since he joined the Mets. I feel like he's missed more games than he's been on the field. He hasn't played all of this season. And I feel like he barely played last season or the season before that. But the Mets outfielder is now definitely out for most of the year, if not all of it, after a freak accident. And no, he was not riding a horse, which is the question everybody asks. But a freak accident that was a shock to the system when we heard about it from general manager Brody Van Wagenen on Monday.
An update on Ioannis Cespedes. On Saturday night, we received news from him that he suffered an accident on his ranch in Port St. Lucie and suffered ankle fractures. He is here in New York. He's at HSS. He's being evaluated, and we'll have more information on his prognosis and what his future is, hopefully in the coming days. But right now, that's the story from his standpoint and what the information is that we have at this point in time.
I don't even know how to react to that. He had a violent fall in which he stepped in a hole and put his leg and foot in a difficult position. Initially, this was described as two fractures. So he stepped in a hole on his ranch in Port St. Lucie, Florida. It could happen to all of us. It could. Except it's a long string of injuries that are odd and weird. Like, for instance, the calcification on his heels. No, I'm not saying no one's ever had that type of surgery or injury, but how often do you hear that in sports? Calcification of his heels. It's not a baseball-related injury, that's for sure. And maybe the Mets were planning to move forward all season without him. Problem is, they're paying him a whole truckload of money. And he made his money basically because he was part of that team that went to the 2015 World Series, a big part of that team, and also got them back, helped them get back to the playoffs the following fall. But how about this? Going into 17, all right, so they had their back-to-back postseason berths in 15 and 16. He signed a massive deal, $110 million for 4 years. So we're now in the third year of that, 17, 18, 19. He's only played 119 games since he signed that contract. So 119 games in 3 years. In case you've forgotten, a baseball season itself is 162 games. And while nobody really expects a guy to play every game, I mean, that's a lot to ask. But still, there are guys who pride themselves on doing it. But that's definitely not a good investment. He made his money on the postseason appearances, really, that run to the World Series. And since then, he's more absent than he is present. But that's not the only thing going on with the Mets. This is so fun. I actually feel bad talking about it now because Mickey Callaway came into the Mets organization with all of the promise. We're going to love these players like they've never been loved before. We're going to support them. We're going to encourage them. We're going to give them a soft place to land. We're going to show them how to be the best versions of themselves. All of that 2019 mumbo jumbo that appeals to young people. I think a lot of it's flowery and empty, but that's just me. That's how you coach and manage these days. You cannot yell at your players. We found that out during March Madness. Or the PC police come after you because you're not coddling. No yelling, only coddling. Well, Mickey Callaway seemed like the right guy to do that because he was going to love his players. And I genuinely believe he does love the game of baseball, love his job, and want to be a positive influence on the Mets organization and the players that he has. However, the team stinks and has stinked now. Stinked. This is what happens when I talk about the Mets. The team has stunk now for a year and a half. Not quite a half, but at least a year plus since he took over as manager. Now, is that all his fault? No. I rarely ever blame a manager or a coach for even half of what's happening with his team. However, they're the easiest ones to get rid of. So here are the Mets. They've dropped 5 in a row. They've lost 21 of their last 32. They're going the wrong way. You're going the wrong way down a one-way street. I'm not saying the NL East was supposed to be wide open this season, but heavens. The Mets could just insert themselves into the conversation. And so the players and the coaches have a big meeting on Monday. Was it to talk about Mickey Callaway's status? Supposedly to get the team on the same page.
First and foremost, it was to make clear to the coaches, make clear to Mickey, and make sure the players understood that I, the front office, and the entire ownership group has support of Mickey Callaway as our manager.
I never felt that I wasn't supported at any time, and we've always had unbelievable dialogue about how we can do things better. We realize that we have to do things better and we have to start winning games, and that's what our focus has been at all times.
Mickey Callaway may end up being the scapegoat. I don't know what kind of a person it takes to turn the franchise around, but he certainly can't do it on his own. So for now, he is the manager. The quote from Brody Van Wagenen, for the foreseeable future, which is as tepid a vote of confidence as you can possibly get. They've got a lot of injuries, to be sure, but they're going the wrong direction. So here are the Mets, who I feel like at times are a ship without a rudder, but also they're taking on water again, taking on water again. It just happens over and over. It's not all happenstance. It's not all bad luck. I don't even believe in luck, but I know a lot of you do. They've changed general managers. They've changed managers. They've changed some of their players. What else are they supposed to do? Who are the biggest disasters in sports? Producer Chris chose Mr. Met. Crying. A crying Mr. Met. For our Twizzler Tuesday GIF. So you can check that out, After Hours CBS or A-Law Radio. Who are the biggest disasters in sports? And then also on our Facebook page. Thanks so much for tuning in. Now coming up in the next 10 minutes, we can take some of your calls, 855-212-4227. We're going to share with you about the blown out shoe. My best Zion Williamson impression. And also, I have a couple of fun stories from UVA graduation. Oh, and the big show announcement. We'll do that after the update. So we'll get through the next few minutes and we'll give you the big show announcement you've all been waiting for after the update. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
So it's a high fly ball, way back to left center. This one flies into orbit at a home run for Pete Alonso. Well above the M&M suite seats in left center, about 10 rows up the front deck in left center field. And Pete Alonso has his 15th home run. The Mets have hit two here in the first inning off of Patrick Corbin. And it's 2-0 Mets in the first.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Okay, I hate gates. Any kind of gates now. However, this is what producer Chris has termed my shoe blowout. My Zion Williamson moment is shoe gate. So there's a video. There's a video so you can see what I'm talking about. The shoe has gotten the worst of it so far in my return to studio on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on my Twitter. Thanks so much for tuning in. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio and on Facebook. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. So far on this show, lots of Warriors sweeping the Blazers. We'll get into some of the nitty-gritty nerd alerts from that sweep, surprising sweep, at least in my opinion, as the Warriors go to their fifth straight NBA Finals. We'll also talk a little bit about Brooks Koepka's win with the PGA Championship, his fourth major win in the last eight tournaments at that level. It's pretty incredible. Only Tiger Woods has done anything like that. But for Koepka, there was a lot of stress associated with Sunday, and I think he continues to carry that chip on his shoulder. It serves him well. Also, the Los Angeles Lakers, the New York Mets, two examples of disastrous teams in sports. So we're asking you, as our Twizzler Tuesday question, who are the biggest disasters in the sports world? And we're looking for franchises. Again, on Twitter, on Facebook, or on the phones, 855-212-4227. It's our toll-free line brought to you by Geico. With a quick way you can save money, switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. So over the weekend, I was in Charlottesville, Virginia, because my niece was graduating from UVA, and there was a main commencement ceremony. Actually, there were two of them, because there are more than 4,000 young people who are graduating from UVA this weekend, and so they split them up into two big commencements, one on Saturday and one on Sunday. Now, Sunday was the hotter of the 2 days. It was hot. I'm not sure how it was where you were, but in Charlottesville, Virginia, the temps were in the mid-80s and extremely humid, and that was in the morning. So we wanted to get there really early because the ceremony, the commencement, was out on the lawn. If you know anything about UVA, there's a large rotunda, and then there's this gorgeous lawn that kind of slopes through the center of campus. Well, that was set up with thousands of chairs, and through the middle of the chairs was a path and a few ramps to go kind of from the level down to the next level, down to the next level. As the lawn slopes down, all the graduates kind of followed that sloping lawn, and there were a few ramps. Mostly it was just open grass, and there were balloons. I mean balloons, because on Sunday, we got there really early. We found some spots that were just off one of the ramps and thankfully under the trees. I actually took a snap photo of my view. If I was looking straight ahead, which I didn't need to because the stage was off to my right a little bit, if I was looking straight ahead, I was literally looking right into an oak tree. I was 6 inches from an oak tree. So my chair was directly behind a humongous tree. Anyway, so we were under the trees and thankfully we're in the shade most of the commencement. Good thing, because it took 40 minutes alone for the graduates to get from the rotunda down to their seats. And Deanna was part of the engineering school, and so she was at the back. So I'm standing on a chair. My younger niece, who's the photographer in the family and has the really good camera with the zoom lens, is standing in front of me. My brother, my mom, my sister-in-law, we're all there. Oh, my mom's husband. We're all there trying to spot Deanna. We knew that she had an orange tassel. We knew that she had a white collar. We knew she was wearing a white dress. We had seen her briefly before she went to line up. But that's all we knew. And there were thousands of young people, literally 2,000 plus young people, who were walking through this sea of people on Sunday morning. And so we were texting her, but not a lot. I mean, she was way back at the end, so we could text her a little bit to kind of tell her where we were and try to figure out when she was getting close to our position. There was one false alarm where there was another young woman who had long, dark hair and was wearing a white dress. And my brother swears it was me. I'm confident it was him who yelled, "Deanna!" first, and it wasn't Deanna. Anyway, so when Deanna gets at the top of the ramp from where we can see our position, we all start going crazy. It was just amazing. It was so much fun to have our little family unit screaming our heads off. Usually it's me that's loud, but this was our entire family yelling and screaming and jumping up and down and trying to wave. And she saw us, and it was awesome. We got some really good pictures. The other thing that you couldn't miss about this commencement, balloons. I mean, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of balloons because families had given their graduate a balloon so they could spot that person when they were walking down the lawn and the ramps. Well, we were newbies at UVA, so we had no idea that that was something that would be smart to do. Anyway, Deanna did great, hot and sweaty, had a really uncomfortable pair of shoes, but we managed to get through the commencement as well as the engineering diploma ceremony. And we got videos and we got pictures, and it was a really nice day. And UVA does a great job. And one thing we kept hearing over and over again, references to the Cavaliers, the Hoos as they call them, they're on campus, winning their first ever national championship in men's college basketball. And so, for instance, this was one of the references. The president of the university, I believe his name is James Ryan. And he was delivering the opening remarks. And he says, on this most joyous occasion, we celebrate as much as we've celebrated at least since the Hoos won the national championship 40 days ago. And the whole place went crazy. They kept pointing out that it had been only 40 days since the Cavaliers had won the national championship. And there was paraphernalia and memorabilia everywhere. The UVA bookstore was just decked out in all kinds of national championship gear. So that was really cool. It was fun to be there. And Deanna showed us where they'd had their big celebration and how the corner was completely covered, mobbed with people and bodies, and how cool it was. So anyway, that was neat. Enjoyed the graduation weekend, and we survived the family road trip. I don't know when was the last time you guys did a family road trip, but when you're a kid, you don't have a choice, right? When you're a kid, maybe you're easier, or it's easier for you to roll with the punches. When you're adults and you're all doing a huge road trip, it's kind of a different thing. But yes, six of us in one big van. My brother drives like a maniac, so at times we feared for our lives. But we managed to get to Charlottesville and back, and we had some really good meals. So I mentioned this on the show last week. Deanna had failed to reserve a dinner spot for us. So she had not made a dinner reservation, even though it was her graduation. And she had waited too long. And by the time she tried to call anywhere, there was no way. So she says, oh, we'll find something. Well, Saturday night, we left the hotel and we went to her favorite Thai place. And as it turned out, we managed to get a table. It was great. If you've never had Penang curry, oh my gosh. I could eat Penang curry every single meal. And there was a sign that was on the wall opposite me. I tweeted it. I won't tell you what it says. You need to go look at it. But it definitely was a vacation state of mind. And so that's what one of the things that we did on Saturday. We had Thai food. On Sunday, thankfully, we were able to make it home before we had a big dinner, and we cooked, and yeah, we were a bit tired and cranky. We just wanted to get out of there and get home. One of the other things we did was watch the Preakness, not obviously because of me and because of work, but just because it's the Preakness and it's one of the Triple Crown races. And I wasn't expecting to get a show. None of us were really expecting to get the show that we got, which was Bodie Express. Not being ready in the starting gate, the starter opening the gates too early, his jockey unfortunately not having his feet in the stirrups and getting bucked off. He just went flying when Bodie Express kind of balked and bucked because he was really restless in the gate, and the gate shouldn't have been opened that quickly. It kind of sucks, right, that a starter's mistake completely dooms their hopes for a Preakness. But just for comedic value, Bodie Express ends up running around the entire track with no jockey. He completes the race with no rider on his back. And one of the outrider horses, so there are different track officials on horses who are there just in case something goes wrong, like this, except the outrider tried to get to Bodie Express when he was kind of slowing down around one of the last turns, and as the outrider gets up close to the Bodie Express, again, with no jockey, he just takes off and catches up to the pack. So that was impressive. I was impressed with him. However, it sucks that the starter screwed up like that. I don't know what happens in those situations. All right, so you can find me on Twitter. We've got all kinds of things now. Pictures. I put up a few from the weekend. A video showing you my blown out shoe a la Zion Williamson, because who doesn't want to see that? And maybe if I screw up on this particular edition of the show, well, then we can blame it on the fact that I only have one shoe or something. And also on our Facebook page, we're asking you, who are the biggest disasters in sports? Not who are the biggest disasters when it comes to shoes, but who are the biggest disasters in sports? We've given you Lakers, Mets. I just saw one tweet that sent me a GIF of the Knicks. That was it, just a GIF of the Knicks. Joe says the Detroit Lions. Let's see. There was another one about the Lions, too. Zachary says, nothing says failure more than the Detroit Lions. One playoff win in 30 years, a permanent fixture in the basement of the NFC North, not to mention they were the first team to go 0-16. No one has mentioned the Cleveland Browns yet. I'm impressed by that.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Thank you so much for tuning in. And for those of you who are faithful listeners to the show, faithful followers on social media, I believe this announcement will please you. Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe you think we're a bunch of idiots, but the both can be accurate. Both can be the case. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for all of your posts on social media right now. If you happen to be on either Twitter or Facebook, maybe you see that there is a link to what was our inaugural Chubby Bunny Challenge. It was supposed to be an annual thing. However, we've had a lot of turnover here at After Hours. First, Peter Schwartz got reassigned and got some different jobs himself. And then producer Tom took a new job at the network. And then Isaac decided to leave the network and pursue some other passions of his. And so here we are. Oh, and then Pete had not only a devastating injury, but then had hip replacement surgery. And so it's just been almost impossible to try to come up with a time when we could all get together and do the second annual Chubby Bunny. So here we are, 2 years and change after the inaugural After Hours Chubby Bunny Challenge.
Chubby Bunny.
Yeah, we haven't forgotten how much fun it was or how Tom and I gagged and how Isaac won. But we have finally gotten to the point where we want to do the next edition of Chubby Bunny. So if you don't know what it's about, and this is I have a fun asking this question of people because not everybody knows what Chubby Bunny is all about. It's simply stuffing as many marshmallows into your mouth as you possibly can and still maintaining the ability to say with clarity, Chubby Bunny.
Chubby Bunny.
Right. Now, there's some dispute over whether or not that would be a clear version of Chubby Bunny. But as thousands and thousands of you have seen on our YouTube channel, Chubby Bunny is hysterical because we all look like total idiots. I can't stop laughing, which is my downfall. So this is going to be the first time for Dave and Chris, at least with us. Dave or Chris, has either of you ever engaged in a Chubby Bunny challenge before? Maybe summer camp when you were 10.
I have not. This is the inaugural endeavor here.
For you, had you ever heard of it before?
Only through this show.
Oh my gosh, you're so sheltered. Dave, had you ever heard of Chubby Bunny? Please don't let me down. Lie if you have to.
I have, yes. I've never done it, but I've heard it.
Are you excited?
Well, I'm going to win. It's not even going to be close.
Why, do you have a really big mouth?
I mean, maybe.
Maybe you need to be like one of those competitive eaters. That's true. But
yeah, I should.
So do I like food, and it doesn't necessarily mean that your jaw, your cheeks will be able to expand. The issue, of course, is you cannot laugh. Because once you laugh, it's all over. Because laugh is ha, 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 which is forcing the marshmallows out. And then it depends on your gag reflex. Do you have a strong gag reflex?
I wouldn't know.
You've never gagged before?
No.
No? Wow. That's impressive. So if I'm not mistaken, I made it to 6 last time. You'll have to watch the video. Tom was out at 5, I think. He threw up into a trash can or on the floor or something. Pete And Isaac went to 8 and 9 marshmallows. And P.S. These are not little bitty marshmallows. These are the huge marshmallows. I have a brand new bag that I will be bringing in for the second, I can't call it second annual, the second ever Chubby Bunny Challenge. As I'm talking to you, I'm replaying it on our YouTube channel. Just I'm watching it, obviously, with no sound. And it's hysterical. So here's the deal. We're going to do it live on the air. Later this week, we're going to do Chubby Bunny live on the radio show. And then we will have someone tape it as well. So I hope you two are ready. Have we decided which night this will be? I was thinking Wednesday night. Do we know if Anthony is available on Wednesday night? We're asking Ant to step in.
I do not. I do know there was a potential other fourth member as well who I did get clearance from for this week.
But we don't know when?
I think it sounded like it was pretty flexible.
Okay. So we'll do it on Wednesday night into Thursday morning. It'll probably be the second hour of the show. I believe that's when it has to be, the second hour of the show, or early in the third hour of the show. I will bring the marshmallows. You two just better be ready. All right.
Oh, I'm ready.
Be ready to be embarrassed, because there's no way
to
get around it.
Is there like a trophy or a championship belt or something that I get to wear when I win?
You get the rest of the bag of marshmallows.
I was already going to steal those.
You know what's really funny? The first time we did this, I brought in 3 big bags of giant marshmallows, the Jet Puff kind, and we only got through half a bag because I've never seen anyone do more than 10 marshmallows. So if you can do 10 marshmallows, and you can't swallow them. You cannot swallow them. You cannot eat them. They have to just stick there in your cheeks like you're a bunny hoarding whatever carrots, whatever bunnies hoard.
Oh, I'm not going to cheat. I'm just going to dominate.
Oh, okay. So the second ever Chubby Bunny Challenge coming up on Wednesday night into Thursday morning, right here on After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You're still alive.
That's what happens. I laugh. I can't help it. If I could not laugh, this would be a much easier road for me, and I probably wouldn't gag as quickly. So, Chubby Bunny, coming soon. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio and on Facebook. Who are the biggest disasters in sports? And if you need a disaster of a shoe blowout, there's also a video up right now on our Facebook page or on Twitter, After Hours CBS. Some of your answers I hadn't considered, so I'm impressed with your creativity, as always. By the way, I'm not duct taping my shoe together, and I'm also not going to rummage around through the different desks here at CBS Sports Radio to find office glue. No, that's not happening. The shoe already got chucked. I'm walking around with one shoe. So thank you, though, for your advice. Teams that right now represent the biggest disasters in sports. Lots of votes for the Detroit Lions. Willie says on Facebook, Baltimore Orioles were once among the best clubs in the 60s and 70s for the past 40 years. And the 83 World Series championship, but now among the most dysfunctional organizations in all pro sports. He says Mr. Angelos and the family are symbolic of greed. So he points the fingers at the owner of the team. Gifts of Matt Stafford. Brian says Mets and Jets. Let's see. Reverend Wilson, as far as being on top and falling from grace, the Lakers, as far as having the players to win, but the management that couldn't run a peewee league, the Reds, as far as the team with an owner that has the money to pay players whatever they want, but they just can't win, the Redskins. Yeah, you're not the first ever to submit the Redskins. So Reuben Foster tearing his ACL in OTAs, and he is likely out for the year. That was just another hit for them. Although I felt like they were happy with their draft. Scott says the Lions as well. Jonathan, my beloved Miami Dolphins. We've had crap management, crap coaching over the years. We signed all these big, high-dollar free agents, and it doesn't seem to work out. This year is the year we turn it around, but I say that every year. This year I have high hopes, but my wife always makes fun of me and says I say that every year. Paul on Facebook, Knicks, Marlins, Jets. And now the Lakers. I had not thought of the Marlins, but that is a great answer. Free agents go there. I mean, young players start there only to make big-time free agents somewhere else. They trade away their best places if they don't, or the best players if they don't leave via free agency. I don't know what Derek Jeter is doing. They've got a brand new stadium that draws no fans. Why? Because they don't win and haven't won. There have been some tragedies, but more than that, it's been a mismanagement. Matt says the Texas Rangers. It's interesting. I hadn't thought about the Rangers.
The New York Giants.
Wasn't that long ago that the Rangers were actually going to back-to-back World Series. Wait, we can't add the New York Giants to the mix. The Knicks, the Jets, the Giants, and the Mets. New York can't have a monopoly on the laughingstock sports franchises.
The whole city is a disaster right now.
The Rangers are rebuilding. The Islanders swept the Penguins out of the playoffs.
Yeah, they're fine. Oh, but the Giants are a mess.
They Daniel Jones could turn out to be the next Peyton Manning.
No, he can't.
Let's see. Samuel says Miami, but I'm not sure if he's referring to the Dolphins or the Marlins. So New York and Miami, they definitely got their drama. The Lakers are really right now the only team in L.A. that's not doing well. If you think Dodgers, think Chargers. I know it's weird to think of them as L.A. The Rams, the Clippers. It's actually the outlier now with the Lakers. And then another gif on our Facebook page, a crying Bengals fan, which really just says it all. On Twitter, A-Law Radio. Let's see. Greg says, we need a Chubby Bunny shoe deal. Someone make that happen. I don't know what that means. I wish I did, but I have no idea what that means. A Chubby Bunny shoe deal. Meaning we license out the right to market Chubby Bunny, but it has to come with a pair of shoes. Except I promise you, you will not see my shoes in our Chubby Bunny video that's coming up. Again, the return of Chubby Bunny, Wednesday night into Thursday morning. So much to look forward to. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.